Please be seated. Welcome to Burlington East on this first Sunday of 2020. Who thought we would be saying that? So I wish you all a very happy new year. We welcome any guests we have with us this morning, and we invite everyone to join us downstairs. I saw some of the preparations, so I know the fellowship is going to be good. We have a special pink rose on the table this morning, and that's to celebrate the arrival of Madeline Doris McCansh Brophy, the granddaughter of Donna and Bruce. Natalie gave birth to Madeline on December 26th. How close to Christmas can you get? So Bruce and Donna, congratulations. I'd just like to remind everyone that the Presbyterian Church newspaper, it comes out a few times a year, the connection is available at the entrance. It's on the table just outside. This is an excellent way to keep in touch with what is going on with the Presbyterian Church at large. So if you don't have a copy, some of you probably get it in the mail, but if not, there are copies outside for you. There's always lots of things at the beginning of the year. We are looking for greeters and people to place flowers in the sanctuary. So there's a list, I think, Bob, is there somewhere?
Downstairs.
There's a list downstairs, so if you'd like to help greet people, put flowers in the sanctuary, please take a look and sign up for a week that would suit you. I don't think there's anything else. The bulletin has everything covered. Most of the activities start again this week, and it's a bit early yet, but you'll see a notice in there about the annual report as well, when reports should be in for that. I don't think there's anything else, so Bruce, I'll take a moment.
Take a moment to prepare our hearts for worship. Let's just do that now. Christ was revealed to the world on Epiphany Sunday. And this candle we light, if I can light it. My fan is blowing it out. Christ is with us regardless of whether I light the candle or not. Trust me. There. They're both out. It's lit. Let's pretend. Christ is revealed in the Epiphany Sunday. Christ is with us this Sunday in our service. Let's prepare our hearts and prepare for worship by gathering for our responsive call to worship, and Gord can lead us in that.
I invite you to join me in the responsive call. Grace to you and peace in this new year. In Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. Let us join together as we sing to God's praise in hymn number 407, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Please be seated. We have clearly started the new year with a bang, not lighting the candle, and then that hymn being printed on whatever random order they decided to put that in. You got to really pay attention, it seems, these years. That's maybe 2020's got something special for us in mind. This is the time when we come before God with our prayers of adoration or thanks, a time of confession and a Lord's Prayer. And folks, I know it seems to me from standing up here from Sunday to Sunday, I'm always reminding us about why we're doing this. We want to come before God at this particular moment. And if you notice the way our entire order of service is put together, this is coming to the very end of our gathering before God, and then we're going to be hearing God's word. And this is the final step in this section of our where our service is organized. It's a time for us to reflect, and especially since we're in the new year, a time for us to reflect and thank God for what's been going on, maybe over the last year, but certainly in the last week or so, but also to pause. From Sunday to Sunday, this is our moment to pause and think about those moments when we haven't lived the life that we want to be living and should be living, the line that God asks us to walk on, and it's a tough one. And I repeat this over and over about missing the mark, about sin is missing the mark. Maybe it's another way of putting it is you have to walk a particular line in our lives, and sometimes we struggle to keep on that line. But we have a way to fix that for ourselves, and that is this moment of confession and repentance and knowing that we are forgiven by our Lord Jesus. So that's what this is all about, pausing for a moment to give thanks, to reflect on how we've been living, and then we wind it all up with that Lord's Prayer. And when we get into that moment, we're going to be talking a lot today about in the moment. When we get into that moment, it can fill us with something really precious. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, you gave us your Son, Jesus, to be the light of the world. We're going to read about that extensively today. So we praise you and you magnify your holy name, that in him you've revealed the wonder of your saving love to all people. That's a really neat thing when we reflect on that. The wonder of your saving love to all people. With those of old who brought their tribute to his feet, confessing him as King of heaven and earth, we think of those wise men that came, those kings that came. We are here today to give you thanks for all that you've given us in our lives. Christmas time and post-Christmas time is a moment in which, because we're coming into a new year, there's always a time to be thinking about the good times, maybe not so good times, but all the times that you've been in our lives and blessed us with so much. We thank you that you've given us a light in this world to shine in our lives and to bless us. And at that same moment, Lord, this is a time in which we, from week to week, pause. Pause because there are things that we need to be reflecting about in our motives and in our actions as we live our lives before you. It's easy to say things with words. It's easy to maybe just intend, and that's all part of that, intend to do things. But it's a hard line to walk sometimes. There's so much going on in our lives these days, it seems, and that always becomes an excuse of late. I would have, but I couldn't because. But you call us to be loving and caring and kind. And we do that for a lot of the time, Lord. But for each one of us today, there's been a moment when we weren't. And it's those moments that we're confessing before you today. And not just confessing, but saying, Lord, we want to change that. Help us to live a better life, motivated by the love you have for us and the wonder of this love that you have for us. Help us to repent of that and that stop doing the same old thing. We're conditioned as people, it seems, to behave in default values a lot of the time. We don't even know what some of them are. But help us to shine that light on us, Lord, for those moments when we're just acting out of automatic behaviors that are not necessarily the behavior you want in our lives. That's repentance. Thank you that we can come to you in this particular moment of worship as your people and spend this moment from week to week to say, Lord, sorry, help us start again. And this is possible because of that Christ love in our lives and the life that he lived, his resurrection power given for us. Thank you, Lord. All of this we pray in his name, which gives that authority and that signature, if you like, at the end of it. And now, Lord, we join our hearts in the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The true light, people of God, that gives light to everyone, was coming into this world, has come into this world, and we're thinking about that today. To all who have received him, to those who believe in his name, as it's put in Scripture, he gave the right to become children of God and not be ashamed in the darkness, but to move into that light boldly and proudly. We are forgiven in Christ's name. Amen. Join together now in our children's hymn, Come Children Join to Sing, number 377. And during the second verse, I'd like the children to sit up in the front pew here. And that's something I want to share with them. So Come Children Join to Sing, 377, verses 1 and 2 to start. Be seated. I'm moving the kids around here because I want you to be able to see this, because it's something I want to sort of show you, and it's kind of a trick. It's choir, I apologize, you won't be able to see this right away. I want to teach you a big word, and I've written it at the top, pardon my handwriting, it's horrible, and that big word is epiphany. And epiphany, just a minute, epiphany means something that gets revealed, something that gets brand new, a brand new sort of secret that gets revealed. That's all epiphany means. And tomorrow, on January 6th, today's the 5th, right? Yeah, I'm looking at Michelle, like you know better than I do. Tomorrow would be Epiphany Sunday, because it's 12 days from Christmas, and that's what we do. And that means that's when the wise men, those guys up in the corner, came and visited Jesus, and he was revealed to the world as to who he was by people outside of his immediate family. So I want to teach you something today that's going to hopefully be an epiphany for some of you anyway. Maybe not everybody. It was for me, and I was an adult when I learned this. You might have already learned this in school, because who knows what they're teaching in math today. 9. It's a magic number. And 9, I'm going to show you a trick with doing multiplication with 9. You guys' hands are already up, so you know. So what is 9 times 1? What's 9 times 1? 9 times 1 is? Madeline. 9. So we're going to write 9 here. That's easy. What's 9 times 10? 90. Nope. 90. 90, that's right. And I'm going to write 90 down here. Now here comes the epiphany. If you take this, if I put a 0 in front of 9, it's still 9, right? So if I put 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 is already there. And then if I start at the bottom and go up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 is already there. And you know, if you count down, 9 times 1 is 9, 9 times 2 is 18, 9 times 3 is 27. See, you can do the numbers 0 to 9, and then 0 to 9, you already got the 9 times table done. And you know how to prove if you got the right answer? All of these, if you'd add this way, 0 plus 9 is 9, 1 plus 8 is 9, 2 plus 7 is 9, and 9 all the way down. There's a trick, and I think I'm hearing some people go, yeah. So we've had some epiphanies this morning already with the 9 times table. It's a magic table, number 9. And I want you to try to remember that. That awe that you just went, oh, about, that's what the epiphany of Jesus is kind of like for all of us. And I've got more 9 stuff that I can share with you another time, but I'm not going to do that just now. But if you didn't know the 9 times table, now you can do it. Because if you can write 0 to 9 and 0 to 9, you can do the 9 times table. And if you want to make sure you got the right answer, add the 2 up and it should add up the 9. Lots of 9s around today. What an epiphany we've had, I hope. Let's have a little prayer, okay? Lord, thank you for epiphany, which is the secret revealed. And Jesus is that great secret revealed to all of us. Lord, as these boys and girls head off to Sunday school, help them to maybe see a little more of that secret that you have for them, hidden maybe not so much within numbers, but in your story and in your scripture. And we pray a blessing on them and their teachers in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll sing the last verse of our song and remain seated as the boys and girls head off to Sunday school. Thanks for your help, guys. How many people knew that about the number 9? Anybody? It's new. It was new to me a few years ago, and I like math, so there you go. A friend of mine told me all about that, and I was quite excited. Had I known that in grade 5, man, I would have just nailed it. Well, we're preparing to hear God's Word this morning, and as we do, we want to always invite the Spirit of God to illumine and create an epiphany for us in some ways about what we're about to hear. So let's bow our heads and pray. God of epiphany, we long to hear your holy word in fresh ways, and that's always the challenge. So open our ears to that call of your voice within your word, and open our eyes to the, I guess in phrase, the dawning of a new day within your word. So fill us with a kind of anticipation about what's coming, and speak to us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this opportunity, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So our responsive psalm found in the Psalters in your pews is Psalm 147, verses 12 to 20. And this is part of that last or fifth segment of the Psalms, the Psalter. And it's really has Psalm 145 and 150 exclusively deal with praise. And this is almost in the midst of all of that, an independent kind of hymn of praise. And it's combined with some other phrases. So this psalm is actually broken into 3 segments almost, and we're reading the last segment of the 3 where it's talking about calling upon God and all of the world, if you like, praising God. What a great way to start out the new year. Let's read responsively 147.
Reading at verse 12. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. For the Lord strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your children within you. The Lord sends out a command to the earth. The word runs swiftly. The Lord gives snow and water and scatters frost and ashes. The Lord hurls down hail like crumbs. Who can stand before such cold? The Lord issues commands to Jacob, gives statutes and ordinances to Israel. Praise the Lord.
Thanks, Gordon. Our Old Testament reading is taken from Jeremiah 31. That's page 734, if you want to read along in your pew Bibles. 734, Jeremiah 31, beginning at verse 7. And this section, if you like, consists of two distinct prophecies or oracles. The first one from 7 to 9 is an oracle of salvation. It's addressed specifically to Israel, and more specifically the remnant that's left from after their time away from Jerusalem. It begins, "Thus says the Lord, sing, praise, shout," or all parts of that. And the second part, which is 10 to 14, is the second oracle directed to the nations at large. So it's kind of reflecting some of what we just read in a way. So the first part is specific to the people, and the rest is to the rest of the nations. And we're going to see what's contained in that as we read through that. Jeremiah 31, beginning at verse 7. "For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor, together. A great company they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water, in a straight path which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him, and will keep him as a shepherd a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, and has redeemed from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord." Our New Testament reading is taken from the letter of Paul to the church in Ephesus. It's from Ephesians 1. And this starts out kind of with a greeting, but also with a blessing. Blessing God, blessing them for Christ, and encouraging them in their faith. A revelation, if you like, an epiphany in some ways. Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished upon us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory." And our gospel reading is taken from John. And I know we've referenced the kings, wise men coming to see Jesus. We've read that a couple of times. This is a little bit different reading for Epiphany Sunday, which we're kind of thinking about today. But it's very appropriate because it's sort of the prologue to the Gospel of John in some ways. But it's very much talking about that revelation of Christ as the light in the world and how God had something very much in store from the very beginning, in the very beginning of the Word. John 1, and I'm going to read from 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." This is the Word of God. Join together now in our next hymn, "One More Step Along the World We Go," number 641. Please be seated. It was a dark and stormy night. The rain fell in torrents, except at occasional intervals, when it was checked by a violent gust of wind which swept up the streets, for it is in London that our scene lies, rattling along the housetops and fiercely agitating the scanty flame of the lamps that struggled against the darkness. I love that quote. It was a dark and stormy night. This is the infamous opening of a phrase written by a Victorian novelist, Edward Bulwer Lytton, the beginning of his 1830 novel called Paul Clifford, which I have never read except that opening paragraph. It seems to invoke something really, you know, you can just get into that moment. It was a dark and stormy night. You can feel that. Lytton's novel loves to tell the life of this Paul Clifford, a man who leads a dual life both as a criminal and an upscale gentleman. And this opening phrase has become an archetype for many, many mystery story and detective novels and all those sorts of things, and even a lot of movies that are out there. And in some ways, it could be the opening of our story from today's reading when we think about the beginning of time, when the world was being brought to life. And, you know, of course, there wouldn't have been a storm in the very beginning, but you can imagine that darkness and this sense of awe that was there. And maybe you can even imagine that when the kings came to see Jesus, you know, at night. And it was a dark and stormy night then, too. It was a dark and stormy night. The rain fell in torrents, except at occasional intervals, when it was checked by a violent gust of wind which swept up the streets. For it is in Bethlehem that our scene lies, rattling along the housetops and fiercely agitating the scanty flames of the lamps that struggled against the darkness. And then from here, as I said, we could pick up that story of the Magi, the wise men, riding along in the darkness looking for the baby Jesus. The story of Jesus is a bit of a mystery, and that's what that whole reading from John is trying to evoke for us, that the Word was from the very beginning. Jesus was from the very beginning, before anything else existed in this darkness, if you like. The mystery. And it's a mystery that Paul references in his letter to Ephesians when he writes, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. And I want to talk about that mystery, which is linked directly to this word epiphany, the mystery that is Jesus. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Lord, we pray that you will open this up to us. This is the beginning of this new year, and help us to kind of first experience this idea of Jesus in our lives and this story of Jesus that we've heard time and time again. Holy Spirit, calm us. Let us be in this very moment. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's the first Sunday, as we've said a couple of times already, of this new year 2020. And I just said to Gord on the way in here, I remember when I was back at my school board days, one of the first programming assignments I had was to run calculations in 1982 for retirement projections up into the 2020s. And in 1982, 2020 was never going to happen. In fact, I was going to be, I think somebody just said, we're going to get in my Jetsons car and fly around, you know, and I don't have that yet. Although we are talking in our phone, our watches a little bit, kind of like Dick Tracy, I suppose. We hit one of the targets, I suppose. But 2020 is just, we're here all of a sudden. And as I'm, you know, a bit of a history buff when it comes to movies and whatnot, I was just reading last week, because December 25th is Humphrey Bogart's birthday, and he would have been 120 this year. That just doesn't seem right to me. But as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, the 6th of January, when I was talking to the children, is a special day in the calendar of the church. Today's the 5th, tomorrow is the 6th, but we're kind of close enough to kind of think about and celebrate, if you like, the Epiphany. This is an old celebration within church history. It's not always necessarily given a great deal of attention because of the way it falls within the calendar itself, but it is a special day nonetheless for us to consider. Historically, it's a Christian feast or special day, holy day, that celebrates the revelation of God the Son to human being as a human being in Jesus Christ. And this day is noted by the visitation of the Magi, or the wise men, to the baby Jesus. And as I've tried to point out over our Christmas time, we have that sort of folklore issue where the shepherds and the wise men showed up on the same night, but we know historically there was a period of time. We don't know what that period of time was, but a period of time between those two events. And what this significance of this visit and trying to separate it out, the significance is, this is Jesus' first physical acknowledgement of who he was and is by the non-Jewish community, by people outside of Jesus' immediate family. So it's acknowledged that the world had acknowledged who Jesus was at this point. So the word epiphany comes from Greek, and it means appearance, as I said, or manifestation or revelation of something secret. And this appearance of Jesus to the world, therefore, they've attached that particular word to it. And it's an old celebration, as I said, in the church history. It starts maybe as far back as 361 A.D. And as I quickly mentioned to the children, if you count from Christmas to tomorrow, you're going to get 12 days, and that's where we get the whole idea of 12 days of Christmas and so forth and so on. And normally, you know, tomorrow would be the day when you take all the Christmas decorations down traditionally on that 12th day. Anyway, that's the history of this, and it's enough with that for the trivia about Epiphany. But you get some of the idea that this is a long-standing concept that they've tried to separate out for us to acknowledge this acknowledgement of this mystery of Jesus. And I want to look at this mystery of Jesus and the mystery around the story of him. We know that the wise men, the Magi, sought out Jesus, and their story is one surrounded by mystery as we read through that story, and I did that in the Gospel of Matthew. Herod wanted the wise men or the Magi to find the baby Jesus, the would-be king in his mind, in secret, and then to report back to him their findings in secret. And the story, again, has all the makings of that it was a dark and stormy night business, because it's a great sort of suspenseful mystery film, if you're going to put it that way. But the Magi, as we've read already a couple of times over the Christmas time, they were pretty much on top of what Herod was trying to do, and they ultimately did not report back to him after they found Jesus. And then to add to this mystery, if you like, they disappear. They disappear forever after they leave Bethlehem, never to be heard from or referenced again in the gospel story. They kind of show up. There's a brief encounter with Herod. They go and visit Jesus. They give their gifts, and then they ride off into the east and never to be heard from again. The mysterious story of the baby Jesus continues, if we read the next segment, I think last Sunday, of the Jesus, because Joseph gets visited by an angel in a dream, and he and Mary secretly head off to Egypt, again adding to this suspense story, if you like. And after Herod dies, and we read in that same chapter, Joseph is visited by yet another angel in a dream, and instead of heading back to Judea where they came from, he takes Mary and Jesus to Galilee, which is in the far north as opposed to down below the Dead Sea, to secretly avoid Herod's son and successor. Again, like I said, great makings for a novel. We could rewrite this and a movie of the week could be generated, I suppose. When we read the Gospel of Matthew, like those points I've referenced, those first couple of chapters, there's much mystery and suspense held within that opening story of Jesus' life. But that's not really the full mystery that Paul's referring to in that letter to Ephesians. Paul's not talking about mystery in the suspenseful meaning of the word. He's talking about the magic of the story of Jesus when he uses the word mystery. And when we say magic, it's something that astounds us. And I'm going to slide back to that word epiphany for a moment. And it's that mystery and that magic and that surprise that we as Christian believers often lose. Because we've heard this story gazillions of times. And we've celebrated Christmas our whole life. And we've got all of that stuff around it. So it's, I heard that already. But there's something unique about this story that we need to always be trying to stay on top of. You know, when Paul's talking about this mystery of Christ in his letter to Ephesians, he uses that word mystery seven times. Clearly, it's the mystery of the gospel that he uses most frequently, and that's the phrase that he wants to emphasize to everybody, and I think it's important for us, the mystery of the gospel, and gospel meaning good news. There's a secret, there's a mystery, there's some magic behind the good news gospel of God in Jesus Christ. So we lose that sometimes because we forget what the real secret of the good news is. And if we think about some of his other letters, like to Timothy, Paul writes there, without any doubt, the mystery of our religion is great. He, Jesus, was revealed in flesh, vindicated in spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the Gentiles, believed in throughout the world, and then taken up in glory. The Magi, the wise men, visited Jesus back in our Christmas story. They knew about this secret. They knew about this mystery. They knew about the magic that was involved there. And that's why they drove so far. And when I say drove, I mean drove themselves, pushed themselves. They rode on caravan. But they drove themselves so hard to find him and seek him out and meet him. If we read in Corinthians, it says this, for Jews demanded signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. But I really want to emphasize that particular reading and not just blurt through it. Because we have both of those elements alive in our world today. There are people that want proof. I want proof. That's a sign that he uses when he says Jews demand signs. And if it's not going to be proof, I need logic. And that's the Greek desire for wisdom. You prove it to me, you logically show it, and I'll believe it. And Paul says, you know what? That's why Jesus has done the way this whole mystery is about. That's why it's foolishness to them and stupid to everybody else. Because there's a mystery locked inside here. And if you need it proven or logically shown, you're missing the point. There's a secret, a mystery that's here. The mystery of the gospel that Paul's talking about in Ephesians, and he puts in Corinthians that foolishness because they can't figure it out. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't add up. It doesn't figure. And that's the whole point of the thing. That's why there's a mystery and a wonder associated with it. I like this one particular musical artist, Noel Paul Stuckey. He's Paul of Peter, Paul, and Mary. A Christian man, been a Christian for many years. And one of the songs he wrote himself is called Miracles. And this excerpt, I just want to read this brief bit of lyric to you. The wounded warrior turned his head on the ground where he had fallen to feel the cool dirt on his cheek and hear the young girl calling, "My God," he cried, "I cannot see." The girl ran from the forest. Better it would have been to die than to live a life in darkness, is what he said. And the tears of the young girl cried over her fallen lover. They cleansed his eyes that they may heal. And so he did recover. Isn't this the way God works his miracles? A blinded soldier given back his sight. Here's the part in the lines, in the lyric. Now a scientist may tell you how night turns into day, but he can never take the wonder away. He can never take the wonder away. How many times have people wanted to go up to the cottage and watch the sunrise? Yeah, you know what? I can explain that, you know? There's going around the sun, it's rotating, it's just, there's all the logic about it. Here's the proof. But boy, when you see that sunrise over a lake, hear the loons, man, oh man, there's a wonder built into that. When we read the gospel account of Jesus' life, his birth, his death, his resurrection, sunrise, same sense needs to be there. And we lose it. And it's easy to do. I was out west at General Assembly a few years ago, and Donna has some cousins that live out there. And I went out to see her one cousin, and don't ask me where they are, but they live near, as everybody does, near the mountains. And they live on this beautiful, like, field, and it's a forest, and the background are these beautiful cascading mountains. And I said, you know what? You get tired of that. You get tired of you living here your whole life. Every morning when you get up, more mountains. No, she said, I don't. When the sun comes over that mountain every morning, I think, wow. That's that sense of awe. That's that sense of wow, newness, that we need when we read Jesus' account. The Word was made flesh. Before there was anything, there was the Word. And Jesus was born. He lived. He taught. He suffered. He died and He rose again. Sunrise. Wow. It's easy to, in the midst of life, to lose all of that. It's easy to forget, especially post-Christmas when we're kind of going, oh, it's over. But it's not over. It's always new. It's always beginning. There's a mystery, and it's the epiphany that we need to think about. Epiphany is that wow moment. And my prayer for us in this coming year, I heard somebody say 2020 is kind of like human eyesight. We want to have 2020 vision. I know it's been overused already on the internet, but anyway, we want to have that vision of Jesus to give us that wow moment, that the mystery of His life, that secret revealed, can really burn new within all of us. And that's the gospel presentation. And we're doing that in so many ways and what the things that we do and live. But we need to keep it kindled and not let that flame go out. It was a dark and stormy night, and the rain fell in torrents, except at occasional intervals when it was checked by a violent gust of wind which swept up the streets. For it is in our hearts that our scene lies, rattling along the housetops, fiercely agitating the scanty flames of the lights that struggled against the darkness. The mystery of Jesus, I wish upon all of us as a blessing this day and this year. Amen. This is the time when we come before God to respond in so many ways, and we present our tithes and our offerings before the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord, we thank You for the blessings in our lives, for the mystery of Jesus' story that lives. Lord, we ask this blessing now on this offering because it is enabling the mystery to be told to the world. Use it in that way to bring about your glory, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Renata.
I just had an epiphany moment where I realized back there I can and that I'm allowed to ask for help. I was just hoping if there's a few of you that can just carry up a little person up the stairs and put it on the back row of the pews, I would be so grateful. I know we all have knees hurting and feet hurting and whatever, but if we all put those powers together, we can quickly carry up the Joseph and Mary and the
manger, and
the angels and a wise man. They're not heavy, so if there's anyone willing to just put them on the back row up there, thank you so much.
Thanks, Renata. You know, that's very good because this is when we're going forth and this is when we're, you know, asking God for help for things and one another for help. And it's important. And so, you know what? Thanks for sharing that too. That's good. This is a lot of work to get all this set up, and it's if we can help get things organized, that would be even better. So we are coming before thinking about other things and other people. The flowers we have here to my left, Jack Rivett and family, in loving memory of Mary Rivett. Thanks for doing that, Jack. I appreciate that very much. And as we enter into our prayers, this is a time to be thinking about other folks. Corrine Young, who usually does our elevator, those of you who watch her, she fell this past week. She ended up with 4 stitches in her head. She fell out of bed in her sleep. 4 stitches, and she has a cracked collarbone. So, Helena, thank you for helping out with her. And she's going in to see a doctor tomorrow to see what that maybe has to be done or not done, as the case may be. And, you know, she's got lots of health issues and whatnot. She does wonderful, but being here every week to help us with our elevator, and just that's her part of participating in our family here. So I want to keep her in mind, and I know you've all got folks on your hearts, especially over this last little while, and lots of people with news about different things that may be upsetting, about health and whatnot. You know, we don't need the details. God knows the details. We just need the name, just so we can unite our hearts and gather together in that power. So let's bow our heads now in prayer. Lord, we've gone through Christmas and we've gone through New Year's, and now we're into the new year. And sort of the furor of getting through that particular period is behind us in some ways. But for so many people that we know in our lives, it's just the beginning of stuff. And Corrine is one of those where she's got a whole host of things ahead of her. And we know there are others that we can think of, and some of those those names we can say out loud, some of those maybe too heartbreaking to say out loud, and we just need to say quietly in our hearts. But we want to be praying specifically as we begin, and we're all talking about beginning this new decade and this new year. It may not be quite so promising for some. So we come before you, God, and we hold up names of people in our lives that need you and your intervention, in whatever way that may be. You know that. So we do that now. We offer these names out. Loving God, hear the prayers and these names of your faithful people, and guide not just us offering these names, but what we need to do sometimes in response, so that your will can be done and your glory can be brought to your name. It's kind of like we read in the Psalms today, Lord. If you didn't love us, you wouldn't tell us what to be doing. And it's clear in that Psalm that only you've given it to us, so the instructions in that sense, because you love us so much. Love these people, Lord. Intervene in their lives. Touch their hearts. Work in their physical ailments, their situational problems, their emotional needs, their relationships that may need fixing. And we know that that can happen. We have confidence because of this great mystery of your love for us, as Paul puts it. And we offer it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now our last hymn is one that may not be familiar with so many of us, so Renata's going to play it through once, and then we're just going to sing the first two verses today, and then we may come back to this again later in the month to sing again. Called as partners in Christ's service, emphasizing to us that we're not alone, we do this together, not just with Christ, but with all of us with Christ. So Renata, if you play that through with number 587, and we'll stand and sing the first two verses. Gord, come on down with me. The light of God's purpose has shone upon us. We read about that in the Gospel of John. So carry that light into another week. The star of God's promises has led us to worship. We read about that with the Magi. That now leads us to serve in God's world. We've met God in the light. We cannot dwell comfortably in the shadows. We cannot enjoy our abundance and wealth without thanksgiving and generous sharing. The glory of God shines on all of us today. Others will see that radiance and rejoice with all of us. And we seek God's peace that we may share it, God's wisdom that we may live by it, and all in Christ's name. And now may Christ, the Son of God, be manifest in you, that your lives may be a light to the world. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now and always. Amen. Okay.